Hello, and welcome to Finding Truth Matters with Dr. Andrew Corbett. We're really pleased you've been able to join us for the program.
You were designed to make God look beautiful. You were designed to reflect His beauty. And yet, you may never have yielded your life to Him.
Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, we've heard it said. It's interesting, isn't it, that we can all recognise beauty in its various forms? It's built into us. Any guesses as to how? Tonight, Dr. Corbett concludes the Beauty Project with a look at beauty in the saints, beauty displayed through people.
So this is the Beauty Project, the Beauty Project. And we're going to see that God is infinitely beautiful. And we're reminded that this word beauty, according to dictionary.com, says that which brings pleasure to a person and satisfies the mind. Brings pleasure to a person and satisfies the mind. So here's the question. What are you going to do in the presence of infinite beauty? You're going to be infinitely satisfied. You're going to experience infinite pleasure in the presence of God. Wow, forget your harp and cloud. That's not what heaven's about. In fact, you're not even going to realize you're in heaven once you see God. This is the God we're talking about. I want you to consider God's greatness. Consider God's greatness. The psalmist has described the incredible majesty and the power and the splendor and the glory of God. Now consider with me for a moment. Here is a picture of our galaxy. And there are, according to astronomers, over 100 billion galaxies. Isn't that amazing? This is incredible. And when we consider that in our galaxy, there's a picture of the Milky Way here. And in our galaxy, it's 100,000 light years across our galaxy. You know how far that is? Like, really far. I calculated it. It's 944 trillion kilometres. That is huge. 944 trillion kilometres across. That's just one of them. This thing we call home, the universe, is huge. That's in the galaxy. We live in a solar system, and our solar system is where Earth is. Carl Sagan described it as a pale blue dot in the scheme of astronomical stuff. We live on a pale blue dot. And here we are. We're on this teeny little island. Here we are. And it's a teeny planet in the scheme of things. And it's a teeny solar system. Our sun, if we were to compare our sun to the other suns, you'll see our sun is about the size of a small marble compared to a basketball compared to some of the suns that are in the universe. There's nothing hugely grand in the scheme of things about our sun, but it's perfect for us to have life on Earth. It's just the right size, just the right distance away. All of these things also point wonderfully to God. And so I want you to consider that here we are on this teeny little island, this teeny little planet, teeny little solar system, in a teeny little galaxy, in a teeny little universe, compared to our great God. And we are worshipping an infinitely, infinitely magnificent God. An infinitely magnificent God. Because he created it all. I'm amazed that you're able to stay in your seats at that. I would kind of be dropping to my knees right now going, wow, what a great God. And this is the God we worship. We are worshiping an infinitely magnificent God. God is all glorious, as the psalmist has said, and as Moses described in Exodus 15:11, who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders? Our God is all glorious. Wow. And now, as we see in the progression of Psalm 29, God's beauty is most magnificently seen in people, because it's people that reflect his beauty more accurately than anything else. People. When God himself wanted to show the world how beautiful he was, he didn't send a painting, he didn't send a poem, he didn't send a story, he didn't send a piece of music, he sent his Son in the likeness of human flesh. People reflect his beauty more than anything else. Albert Einstein is quoted by Professor Charles Misner. And he says this: Einstein had so little use for organized religion, although he strikes me as basically a very religious man, Professor Misner, who's one of the world's leading experts in general relativity, which is the theory that Einstein put forward. He must have looked at what the preachers said about God and felt they were blaspheming. Wow. Can you imagine that? Albert Einstein looked at what we just saw, the grand universe, and then he heard preachers talking about God in flippant terms, in buddy terms. I don't ever want us to do that. God is infinitely grand, and it should be reflected in the way we worship. It should be reflected in the way we speak of him. I don't think I've ever told a joke about God being the man upstairs or anything irreverent like that. He is far above anything any comedian will ever mock him to be. He is incredibly grand. And Einstein had a picture of the grandness of God because of what he saw in creation. And every time he heard a preacher preach, he figured they don't understand who God really is. When you're worshiping this morning, do you get a glimpse? Do you get a glimpse of who God is? This is one of the most beautiful people that has ever graced the planet. Her name is Fanny Crosby. Fanny Jane Crosby. What a beautiful woman. Incredibly beautiful woman. She was born March 24, 1820. At 6 weeks of age, her eyes got an infection, and the doctor was called and gave her something akin to acid that burned her optic nerves. Realising he'd made a mistake, he fled that town and was never seen again, and it was later discovered that he had no medical training. I say that not to be flippant about what happened to her, but I want you to see that this is something she wrote when she was 8 years of age. The gift of words and poetry and music was very clearly evident in Fanny Crosby from this age. And she, although she was blind, she could see better than most. Listen to what she said. Oh, what a happy soul am I. Although I cannot see, I am resolved that in this world, contented, I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot, I won't. How's that? 8 years of age. Next time you wake up in the morning with a headache and the world is coming to an end, just remember it could be worse. She wrote this song, Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. She could say at age 85, and we'll come back to the next stanza of that, blessed assurance, she could say this, at age 85, I have not for a moment in more than 85 years felt a spark of resentment against him, because I've always believed that the good Lord, by this means, that is her blindness, consecrated me to the work that I'm still permitted to do. She wrote, perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Saviour am happy and blessed. I want you to hear that she could see clearly, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. Perfect submission, get that? Blind, abused by a wannabe doctor, lots of reasons to be bitter and twisted. Perfect submission. Perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. What was she looking forward to? When someone said to her, what a shame that such a talent as yours, you were born blind, or you were blind almost from birth. And she said, not at all. Because I have the privilege of knowing that the very first thing I will see will be my Lord. How's that? When she died, she saw all right. And the very first person she saw was the one that she'd always seen. But now she saw him with new resurrected eyes. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. Wow. Fanny Crosby, what a beautiful woman. She wrote thousands of hymns, some 8,000 hymns. That's a hymn a week. In fact, she wrote so many hymns, the publishers compiled entire books just of her hymns, but they were afraid to put her name on it because they thought that would be extolling one person. So she wrote under 200 pseudonyms in that book. Incredible talent. And every song describes the beauty that she saw in God. We've got eyes. What do we see? Oh, man. What a beautiful woman. There's another beautiful woman in Scripture, and I'd like you to turn there, please. It's the book of Esther. So we're going to, Esther, we're going to have a look starting at chapter 2. And I think you know the story. I could set it up for you that King Ahasuerus was married to Vashti, and she had not responded when the king had summoned her. And taking counsel with his advisors, they said, this cannot be, because if the women of the kingdom see that a woman can defy her husband, then there would be ruin. There would be anarchy in homes across the kingdom. Banish her. So he does. And so the quest begins to find a new queen for the king. And among the candidates of several hundred is taken this young girl named Hadassah, or known in her home to her cousin, who was old enough to be like a father to her, Mordecai. Her nickname was Esther. And so Esther Hadassah was chosen as one of the candidates to become queen. And the Bible says something fairly remarkable about her. We read in chapter 2 that she was already incredibly beautiful. So we up at verse 7, he was bringing up Hadassah, that is Esther, the daughter of his uncle, for she had neither father nor mother, obviously still living. She obviously did have a father or mother. The young woman had a beautiful figure and was lovely to look at. Can I just make a point here to all the young men in the church? That statement that we've just read is a really elegant statement of a young girl. Did you get that? It says, the young woman had a beautiful figure and was lovely to look at. What a nice thing when a gentleman, and I hope our church is filled with gentlemen, who can say to a young lady, you look lovely. You know, we live in a generation when girls are not used to hearing that as a standalone statement. Because all too often that is said with all kinds of ulterior motive. Interesting statement. There she was. She had a beautiful figure and she was lovely to look at. So I think it's appropriate for men to be able to say of a woman, she is a beautiful woman. And for that not to mean I lust after her, not to mean I want her, not to mean any of that stuff, just to simply mean she, there is a beautiful woman. And it goes on and says, Mordecai took her as his own daughter. Verse 8, so when the king's order and his edict were proclaimed, and when many young women were gathered in Susa, the citadel, in custody of, note this name, Haggai, Esther was also taken into the king's palace and put in custody of Haggai, who had charge of the women. Many people have wondered whether the book of Esther should in fact be in the Bible, because there's no mention of God in the book of Esther. I'm going to tell you, the book of Esther is one of the most profoundly inspired books in the whole of the Bible. We have this amazing picture of this girl who represents the church. The church. A picture of God who was looking for a people who would not respond to him, Israel. And so he took for himself a people who were not his people and made them his people, we read in the prophet Hosea. And that's the church. And Esther is a picture of the church. And here's this picture of this already beautiful girl who submits herself. It's a beautiful picture of submitting to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, Haggai, have your way. Just do what you will with me. I hope you pray that. Because where I'm going with this is the Psalm 29 thing. We are his beauty project. And we read here that Haggai begins a treatment of beauty. Esther was also taken into the king's palace and put in the custody of Haggai, who had charge of the women. And the young women pleased him and won his favour. And he quickly provided her with cosmetics and her portion of food. Now get this, she's already beautiful. You may come and you may think you're not that bad. And you come to Christ. But the idea that you're not that bad means you don't fully get it. You don't fully get it. And Esther comes with a completely other attitude. I'm prepared to let you have your way in my life. And he begins a treatment of cosmetics. God wants to change us. The song, not the song, but there's a saying that says, God loves you just the way you are. And that's true. But you know what? He loves you too much to leave you the way you are. You are his beauty project. He wants to show the world how beautiful he is by the beauty that he's working into your life. And here's Esther with this same sort of attitude. And she's given cosmetics and her portion of food with seven chosen young women from the king's palace. and advanced her and the young women to the best place in the harem. Esther had not made known her people or kindred, for Mordecai had commanded her not to make it known. There is a sub-story going on here, as well as the picture of Esther representing the church, being a picture of beauty, being a picture of how God wants to take your life and change your life and mold your life and shape your life, how God wants to take all the ugly attitude in you out. You know, if you are here and you are harboring hurt, you are harboring forgiveness, you are hostile and bitter towards someone, that is ugly. And God wants to make that go, and he wants that to be beautiful. So, we come down to this verse 11. And every day Mordecai walked in front of the court of the harem to learn how Esther was and what was happening to her. And we come down to verse 12. Now when the turn came for each young woman to go into King Ahasuerus after being 12 months under the regulations for women, since this was the regular period of their beautifying, 6 months with oil of myrrh, speaks of the Holy Spirit. And myrrh is what you give someone when they're dead. And myrrh is kind of, the Holy Spirit wants to put to death certain things in your life. And so there's that treatment of myrrh that Esther is going through. And if you want to let God beautify you, there are certain things in your life that have got to die. And I know that's not the best thing you're going to hear all day, but it's a really good thing to know that this is how much God loves us. In 6 months with spices, he wants to make you, he wants to put some spice in your life. And you may think that the world's sin is exciting and that's the spice of life, but it ain't. It's what God does in your life. And the ointments, the fragrance, and we read in the New Testament that we are a fragrance of life to those that are receiving life, and we are the aroma of death to those that are dying. And God wants us to have a beautiful fragrance of life. So the story of Esther is really a picture of what God wants to do in us. Now, we see in Ephesians 5:27 this statement, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. You see that word splendor? Another word for beauty. This is what God wants to do in your life. He wants to make you beautiful. If you think the Christian life is simply a matter of just turning up to church, maybe occasionally picking up your Bible, maybe occasionally saying a little prayer just before you eat a meal, you don't get it. You don't get it. Christianity is about making Christ the focus of your vision. And you become a part of his beauty project. We are his beauty project. And so, no matter what your life looks like now, God wants to make your life beautiful. So here's the invitation. Maybe you have lived a half-hearted Christian life. Maybe you have not even embarked on this life. Here's the invitation. You were designed to make God look beautiful. You were designed to reflect his beauty. You were designed to hunger after beauty. You surround yourself with beauty. There is something deep within you that craves and longs for beauty. You were designed to live in the presence of the infinitely beautiful one for all eternity. And something deep subconsciously in you knows that. And yet, you may never have yielded your life to him. I'm going to invite you to pray this prayer. This prayer says, I'm in. My life is not what it should be. My life is not where it should be. My life is not what it should be. I want you, God, to have your way in my life. The prayer says this, please, God, forgive me of my sins. Come and live in me and help me to live for you. I thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus, to die on the cross in my place. I want him to be Lord and Savior of my life. Teach me what I need to know and help me to share with others what I now know. Will you pray that? Let's pray. I'm going to pray this prayer. And if you would like to invite Christ into your life, pray this prayer. You are one prayer away from peace with God right now. Oh God, please forgive me of my sins. Come and live in me and help me to live for you. I thank you that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross in my place. I want him to be Lord and Savior of my life. Teach me what I need to know and help me to share with others what I now know. In Jesus' name, amen. While we're praying, Father, I pray for each one of us that we will live the kind of lives that continually add the cosmetics of the Holy Spirit to our life. The Word of God, prayer, fellowship, the disciplines of the spiritual life, the cosmetic treatment to our life. Father, I pray that you would apply myrrh to our life so that, Father, we could die to those things that we need to die to, those ugly attitudes, those ugly things that we're doing that break your heart and don't honour you and make you look beautiful. And Father, I pray that we could have the spice and the ointment of fragrance applied to our life so that we could become a beautiful people for your glory. Now, Lord, whatever ache, whatever hurt, whatever burden people are carrying right now, I pray, Holy Spirit, right now, receive the grace of God to start again. Receive the grace of God. Receive the grace of God right now. Lord Jesus, I pray that across this place now, you would bring healing to souls and that, Father, you would still troubled minds and you would fill each soul with your peace. I pray, help us this day and this day forward to reflect your beauty. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
That concludes the Beauty Project, discovering God's awesome beauty in scenes, sonnets, stories, songs, and saints. Finding Truth Matters continues next week. Podcasts and Finding Truth Matters resources, including tonight's program, The Beauty Project, Part 5, Beauty in the Saints, are available via the website findingtruthmatters.org or by contacting us at Lagana Media, PO Box 1143, Lagana, Tasmania 7277. Dr. Corbett is pastor of Lagana Christian Church and president of ICI Theological College Australia. We look forward to joining you again at the same time next week for more Finding Truth Matters.